Shai li yui ahanovi li yifnai boi oi vashe agudoi lehano yiru ina yuloi chishoi layach luchem Esai li yui ahanovi li yifnai boi oi vashe agudoi lehano yiru ayai veyai shiyim la mai bu vois la mai bu vois awal bunim
Adonai El Moshe Lemor Tzav Es Aharon V'es Banav Lemor Zos Toras Ho'olah Hi Ho'olah Al Mokidah Al HaMizbeach Kol HaLaila Ad HaBoker V'yesh HaMizbeach Tukad Bo. And Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, command Aharon and his sons to say, this is the Torah, this is the law of the Olah. The Olah is a complete burnt offering in the Beit HaMikdash. Hi ha'Olah al Mokedah al HaMizbeach kol ha'layla ad ha'boker. Parts of the Korban remain on the altar all night long, simmering until the morning. Ve'esh ha'Mizbeach tukad bo, and the fire of the Mizbeach, of the altar, function with it.
OU Israel presents
Come in. Welcome.
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. This show is for Parshat Tzav, which is Shabbat HaGadol. Recording and first availability, Yom Kamishi, Thursday, the 6th day of Nisan, 5778, corresponding this year to March 22nd. Welcome to the spring, the month of renewal and rebirth. The month in which the Jewish nation was born. And now, here's your host, Phil Chernofsky.
Thank you, Zira, and welcome all the listeners to the Shabbat HaGadol show, or issue, as you may want to call it, as I like to call it. Let's first take care of Tehillim Kuf Kaf Aleph Psalm 121. Shir Lama'alot Esa Einai El Haharim Me'ayin Yavo Ezri. Ezri Me'im Adonai Osei Shamayim Va'aretz. Al yitain lamot raglecha, al yanum shomerecha. Hine lo yanum v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael. Adonai shomerecha, Adonai tzilecha, al yad yaminecha. Yomam hashemesh lo yakeka v'yoreach balayla. Adonai yishmarcha mikol ro yishmor et nafshecha. Adonai yishmor tzeitecha uvoecha me'ata v'ad olam. Achinu kol beit Yisrael hanatunim batzara uvashivya. Ha'omedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha, ha'makom yirachem aleihem v'yotziem mitzara liyervacha u'me'afela la'ora u'mishibud l'gu'ula, hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv v'nomar, amen. Okay, let's zoom in first on Shabbat HaGadol, the Great Shabbat. I don't know if that's the best translation. It's grammatically problematic. But let me go through a number of points that I did write about in the hard copy of Torah Tidbits, and then an idea which, I don't know, to me is bigger than the explanations. Let's start from this. The date of the very first Shabbat HaGadol was 10 Nisan in the year 2448. The Jews were commanded in Mitzrayim to take a lamb or a young goat into their homes on the 10th of Nisan, which happened to have been a Shabbat that year. The purpose was to sort of advertise to the Egyptian population what we were commanded to do by God. And that, upon asking us, why'd you take a lamb into your home now? We would say, because on the afternoon of the 14th of Nisan, we were commanded by our God to slaughter it and then roast it and eat it that night as the Passover sacrifice. This should have, could have, infuriated the Egyptians, since one of their deities was Ares, the ram, the lamb of which is part of the family. But miraculously, it didn't happen. The Egyptians were very sympathetic to the Jews. This, something we are taught, was instilled in them by God. And the Shabbat, based on that miracle, earned its name, Shabbat HaGadol. The fact of the matter is that that really should have focused on the 10th of Nisan, regardless of what day of the week it falls on, but instead it was focused on the Shabbat before Pesach, regardless of the date, if you follow what I'm saying. Next, since it was this Shabbat that we were newly freed from Egyptian bondage, we now were able to accept upon ourselves the mitzvot of the Torah to be given, and the ones that we already were given for the night of the Exodus. When a person, a Jew, reaches the age of mitzvot, usually for a boy that's 13 and a girl 12, we say that that person has become a gadol rather than a katan. Katan is a minor, gadol is a major. So the Shabbat celebrates, by this first commandment to the people, the bar and bat mitzvah of the entire population, becoming gadol, hence Shabbat HaGadol. Now, the according to our tradition, Moshe Rabbeinu achieved in negotiations with the Pharaoh to give the Jews Shabbat off as a day of rest. So we really started observing Shabbat, or resting on Shabbat, in Egypt. However, once that day was over, we were back into slavery. The Shabbat prior to the Exodus was truly a great Shabbat, a Shabbat HaGadol, because it was not followed by a return of enslavement and oppression. Another reason that's given: Yom Tov, like the first day of Pesach, is also referred to as Shabbat. Often it's the diminutive form, Shabbaton. But there is a famous verse which we are very sensitive to, which tells us on which day we start counting the Omer, corresponding to the day that the barley offering was to be brought in the Beit HaMikdash. And the wording in the Torah is Usvartem lochem mimocharat ha-Shabbat. And you shall start counting from the morrow, the day after the Shabbat. The world, who reads the Bible and does not have the traditions that we do, sees it in a literal sense that the Omer offering and the counting of the Omer began on a Sunday. That is the standard definition of Mimocharat HaShabbat. We say, based on our oral Torah tradition, that the Shabbat referred to in this verse is the Yom Tov, the holiday, first day of Pesach. And therefore, if we wanted to distinguish between the Shabbat that is every week on Saturday and the Shabbat that is Yom Tov, we would have to call Yom Tov Shabbat Katan and regular Shabbat Shabbat Gadol. In fact, in Birkat HaMazon, we refer to all Shabbat, every Shabbat, as a Gadol. But to make it in contrast to the first day of Pesach, where it became an issue, the Shabbat before is called Gadol. The Haftorah that we read this Shabbat includes the prophecy of the final redemption, the complete redemption, the Geula Shlema, where the Navi says in the name of God, Hine Anochi Sholeach Lachem Eit Eliyah HaNavi. I am sending you Eliyah, which is also Eliyahu, same person, the prophet, to announce the coming of Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem HaGadol VaHanora, the great and awesome day of God. That Haftorah precedes Pesach, and it lends its name, with the word Gadol, to the Shabbat HaGadol. A little, maybe tongue-in-cheek, maybe not, was the tradition, is the tradition, of relatively long speeches by the rabbis, drashot they are called, of Shabbat HaGadol, that tend to go long and sometimes into the night, making the Shabbat longer and thereby being called Shabbat HaGadol. Until the Exodus from Egypt, another reason, Shabbat represented the creation of the world and God's resting on the seventh day. From the Shabbat before the Exodus, a second dimension of Shabbat was taken on, and that is commemorative of Yetziat Mitzrayim. This is reflected in how we refer to it in Kiddush. On Friday night, we say both. We say that Shabbat is Zecher L'Maaseh V'Reishit, commemorative of the acts of creation. And we say also, Zecher L'Yetziat Mitzrayim, commemorative of the Exodus. It is specifically mentioned in the version of the Aseret HaDibrot, the Ten Commandments, that are found in Parshat Vo'etchanan, where the reason for Shabbat is different than the one in Yitro. But you get both dimensions there, creation. That makes Shabbat Gadol, big. Now, before I give you my newish kind of idea, I would like to play another Hine Anochi Sholeach Lachem. The one that started the show is one of my all-time favorite melodies. I could not find the Toronto Pirche version of it, which I think that's where it was. I found this from Naftali Schnitzer or something like that, and the pronunciation of the Hebrew is not my style. We'll leave it at that, but the melody was there. But I'd like to play another one. I downloaded several of them. This one is from an old Devekus record. same idea. And what goes along with God sending Eliyahu to be the harbinger of the Geula Shlema is Veheshiv Lev Avot Al Banim Velev Banim Al Avotam, that parents and children will be reconciled. Whichever strayed in the wrong direction, hopefully they will all come back to the core of Jewish values and Torah values and observance. And, okay, we'll talk about it more, but here is Dvekus. Dvekus, a little heavy on the bass in this particular download. I hope it works for you. Okay, here is my idea. It's an idea that you could share with the people at your Seder table, but it ties in, I believe, very importantly with Shabbat HaGadol. And Shabbat HaGadol, of course, the Shabbat before Pesach, the Shabbat that many have the custom of reciting the Haggadah sort of as practice or reviewing it as the case may be. Obviously, they belong together. But let's take a look at now an idea, and be patient, it's a whole process here, of what we're dealing with. I believe maybe a good starting point would be Dayenu. The song Dayenu, the poem Dayenu, well known to anyone who's ever been to a Seder, the highlight of the singing at the table very often, starts out pretty much where we would expect it to, as being part of the Pesach Seder. Ilu hotzianu mimitzrayim, had you taken us out of Egypt, v'lo asavahem shvatim, but not judged the Egyptians for what they did to us, we would have sufficient cause to say thank you. Now, count them out. The first five lines are taking out of Egypt, judging the Egyptians, making it clear that their gods are non-existent, killing their firstborns, giving us the money that we deserved from them over the many years. And what was that? 1, 2, 3, 4. And then Kora Lanu Atayam, splitting the sea, which is really the culmination, even though it corresponds to the seventh day of Pesach, not the first. But at least those five ideas are all part of Kriyat Yam, of all part of Yetziat Mitzrayim, the Exodus. Now, you could argue that part of Kriyat Yam Suf was Hevirano B'tocho B'cherava, that we passed by in dry land on comfort, and drowned the Egyptians, and that's it. Then it continues of taking care of our needs for the 40 years of wandering in the Midbar, which is definitely after Pesach. It belongs more to the Omer period, and providing us with the miraculous mun, giving us Shabbat, which was in that period between Yetziat Mitzrayim and Matan Torah, bringing us near Har Sinai, giving us the Torah, bringing us into Eretz Yisrael, and building the Beit HaMikdash. So by the time you're finished with the song, you say, whoa, wait a minute. You went way beyond telling the story of the Exodus. In fact, you can say, I remember that coming to Sinai and receiving the Torah is celebrated on Shavuot. And going into Eretz Yisrael and having a Beit HaMikdash is also associated with Shavuot and also with Shemini Atzeret, because Shavuot is Yom HaBikurim. You can't bring Bikurim unless you live in Eretz Yisrael and unless you have a Beit HaMikdash. So the story seemed to have gone beyond the story of the Exodus. But that's the point. Because the whole issue of Pesach is the first major, significant, vital redemption which created the Jewish nation, or together with Matan Torah. And from that point, there was always looming in the distance a Geula Shlema, a complete redemption, with a lot of baggage in between. So when we are celebrating that first Geula, we take certain looks to the future, and Dayenu is one of them. According to Rabbi Steinsaltz and his Haggadah, when we break the middle matzah and we use the smaller piece for now and save the larger piece for the future, even though for us at the Seder the future means the end of the meal when we eat the afikoman, he says this is symbolic of recognizing that the Geulat Mitzrayim, the redemption from Egypt, as necessary as it was for us, is the smaller part of the whole picture of redemption, and the other part is put away for the future, hidden for the future. Tzafon, Tzafun, and the Afikomen. It creeps in Holach Ma'anya, right up front, where we say, this is the bread of affliction that our ancestors ate. Hoshata Hocha, now we are here, Lashon Haba Ba'arad Yisrael. Next year, maybe we'll be in Israel, and many of us can already say, yes, we're here. But the Avdei, now we are still slaves to some extent, will continue until the final Geula. Lashon Haba B'nei Chorin. B'nei Chorin has different connotations, but one of them is the future. Towards the end of the Magid, we start Hallel, and we make the Bracha of Redemption. Blessed are you, God, our God, King of the Universe, the standard beginning, who has redeemed us and our ancestors from Egypt, and we come to this night to eat matzah and moror in commemoration thereof. What do we say right away? Kein Hashem Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoteinu. So too, God. Yagienu l'moadim v'lirgalim achirim habaim l'krateinu l'shalom. May we be privileged to holidays and festivals still to come. Smechim b'vinyan irecha. May we rejoice in the rebuilding of your city. V'sasim ba'avodotecha, and to be glad to serve you in the Beit HaMikdash, v'nochal sham min hazvachim u'min ha'psachim, and we will eat there in the Beit HaMikdash, or in Yerushalayim, the complete, we will eat from the Korbanot and from the Pesach, asher yagia damam al kir mizbachacha l'ratzon, whose blood will reach the wall of the Mizbeach in your favor, and we will sing a new song of redemption, Baruch Atah Hashem, Ga'al, past tense, Yisrael. Different times we refer to Hashem as Goel Yisrael, the one who redeems, ongoing. Here, it's clearly part of the Seder, so we're talking about the redemption from Egypt, and coming to the present when we're eating matzah and moror in commemoration, but we immediately look to the future for the korbanot in the Beit HaMikdash. And you have a few more examples of this, two more which are related that I find very important. One is the business with the four cups of wine. There are two different reasons given for the four cups of wine. Actually, three reasons, but one of them is corresponding to the Arba Lishonot Geula, the four terms of redemption, which are Vahotzeiti, Vahitzalti, Vigaalti, three in one verse in Parshat Vo'era, which speak about the actual leaving of Egypt. The fourth one is V'lokachti Etchem Li La'am, I will take you unto me as a nation. Now that really is again something that happened on Shavuot, Matan Torah, but it's part of Yetziat Mitzrayim. In fact, Shavuot, even though it's its own festival, is also called Atzeret, which is a culmination of Pesach. And that's the part of the function of the counting of the Omer immediately after the first day of Pesach, all the way till the day right before Shavuot. But let's say that V'lokachti etchem li la'am explains to us that it was God who took us out of Egypt, a major significant theme in the Haggadah and in our whole thinking about Pesach. But there is a fifth term, which is Veheveti etchem, I will bring you to the land that I swore to give to your ancestors, and I will give it to you. That's still in the future. And how do we show that? We fill a fifth cup of wine, but we don't drink it. It's symbolically known as Kos Shel Eliyahu, Elijah's cup, because he is the harbinger of the final Geula. So we fill it in hopeful anticipation of the final Geula, but we don't drink it yet because we're not up to there yet. There is a movement of people who feel that we should already be drinking the fifth cup of wine to thank God for bringing us to Eretz Yisrael. But I'll leave that for the a different discussion at a different time. Now, related sort of to the four terms of redemption are four verses which make up the core of the Maggid portion of the Haggadah. This is based on the Mishnah in Psachim. You know what? Hold that thought. Let's have another Hinei Anochi, and then we'll come back with more. was the A-Team Orchestra with Barry Weber, I think, singing Mordechai Ben David's Hinei Anochi. Anyway, I hope we're all getting the point and we're all psyching into Shabbat HaGadol as well as Pesach 1 week hence. I started to say that according to the Mishnah, the main fulfillment of the mitzvah to tell about the Exodus is the use of four verses borrowed from Parshat Ki Tavoh in the portion known as the Bikurim Bringers recitation. Let me give you the background to this. There is a mitzvah which exists only in Eretz Yisrael and only when we have a Beit HaMikdash, of a person who raises grain or fruit trees of the seven species, meaning wheat and barley and the variations thereof, or grapes and figs and pomegranates and dates and olives, to bring the first fruits to the Beit HaMikdash, where they are given to the Kohen on duty as a gift, and there's a ceremony, and the mitzvah is supplemented or augmented by a recitation on the part of the person bringing the Bikurim. In his recitation, he gives a summary of Jewish history, starting with Yaakov Avinu, who was threatened by Lavan, one interpretation, and ended up in Egypt and came down as a small nation and grew there in large number. Then the Egyptians oppressed us and they enslaved us with hard labor. Then we called out to Hashem, the God of our fathers. God heard our voice, saw our suffering, and the pressure that we were under. And the fourth verse, Vayotzienu Hashem Mimitzrayim, God took us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with wonders, great wonders, and signs and miracles. The editors of the Haggadah took those four verses and they fleshed it out with further comments. For example, when the Torah says in that portion, Vayotzienu Hashem Mimitzrayim, God took us out of Egypt, the Bali Haggadah, the editors of the Haggadah, added, Lo al yedei malach, not by an angel, but lo al yedei saraf, different kind of angel, and not a messenger, Ela HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo uva'atzmo. And it quotes another verse, V'ovarti, be'eretz Mitzrayim ba'layla hazeh, v'hikaiti kol b'chor be'eretz Mitzrayim, me'adam v'ad behema. I will pass through Egypt on that night, and I will smite the firstborns of Egypt, humans as well as animals, v'chol Elohei Mitzrayim eseh shvatim, and I will do justice with all of the gods of Egypt, ani Hashem. Just one example, don't have to go into that now. So the Mishnah says, darshan, analyze, and present these four verses, which are the summary. Remember, they are borrowed from a person who already came out of Egypt a long time ago. His great-great-great-great-great-grandparents came out, and he is living in Eretz Yisrael with fields, with a Beit HaMikdash, and he gladly and joyously brings his Bikurim to the Beit HaMikdash. And he makes this recitation. The authors of the Haggadah, the editors of the Haggadah, said, great, perfect summary, for many reasons. Number one, it's short. The alternative would be original text of Parshat Shemot, Vo'era, Bo, and Bishalach. That's a year's study in Chumash. You need this for half an hour, 45 minutes to an hour at the Seder. you'll take this four-verse summary, especially because it includes a first-person telling rather than a removed third-person narration, and a few other reasons, too. One little problem here, and that is there is a fifth verse, which the Bikurim bringer says, which we do not say as part of the Haggadah. Vayivienu el hamakom hazeh, and God brought me to this place, a land flowing with milk and honey. And look at how thrilled I am. Look at these fruits, etc. There's again a focus on Yetziat Mitzrayim and a look towards the future Geula. It would be folly to leave out that future look. It would also be wrong to put it all smack in the middle of the Pesach Seder, when in essence we need to understand that that first major step is something that earns our eternal gratitude for God. And we must express that. Now I'm going to give you one more Hinei Anochi, and then my punchline to this whole presentation.
Hey, Jesus, my father,
even more, but I think that'll be it. I want to now explain or state why I said all of the above. And to me, this is my... Let me explain something. I personally do a lot of teaching and writing, and I have no lack of things to share with people before Chagim. However, I need something for myself. I will share it with everybody, but among the things that I share will be things that I've known for years, sometimes a few years, sometimes for many years, and I've polished it and have said it different ways and whatever, but I need something new. I'd never want, and none of you should want, that a holiday, a Jewish holiday, should be been there, did it. There should always be something new. And I haven't been disappointed yet. In fact, this year I got two things, and Mirtz Hashem, I'll share the other one with you next week in the pre-Pesach show. But I want to now finish off this show, even though we did not do anything in Parshat Tzav, which I apologize for, but I want to look at the Haftorah for Shabbat HaGadol. I didn't give you the background back then. We just finished the period of the four special Haftorahs, the four special Maftirs and Haftorahs. And since Shkalim and Zohar, Purah and HaChodesh, on those Shabbatot, we took out two Torahs, read Parshat HaShavuah in the first Torah, and then the special Maftir in the second Torah, and the Haftorah, preempting the weekly Haftorah, was about the theme of the Maftir. Shabbat HaGadol is different, and that is, there's only one Torah, there is no special Maftir, but there is a special Haftorah. And in this Haftorah, we say, Zichru, not we say, the Navi says, Zichru Torat Moshe Avdi, remember the Torah of Moshe my servant, Asher tziviti oto bechorev al kol Yisrael chukimu mishpatim, that I commanded him at Sinai for all of Israel, laws and statutes. That is a restatement of the Jew exists in order to be a thorough Torah person. Torah values, Torah practices, and everything that goes with it. There are many Jews who do not keep the Torah, in part, and they are still Jewish. But the bottom line of Jewish existence is remember the Torah that I, says God, commanded Moshe to give to all of Israel, all the laws and the statutes. The next verse, Hinei Anochi Sholeach Lachem et Eliyahu Hanavi, Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem, Yom Adonai Hagadol Vahanora, Veheshiv Lev Avot Al Banim, Velev Banim Al Avotam, and that I referred to already. So, if I succeeded in describing different things at the Pesach Seder, where we focus on Yetziat Mitzrayim, and then we have a glance or a look towards the future, the significant fact is that on the Shabbat before Pesach, the Navi makes it crystal clear in what direction we are headed and how we get there. How we get to the final Geula, to the Geula Shlema, and how we live full Jewish lives. Zichru Torat Moshe Avdi. Remember the Torah and keep it. And what is the ultimate goal? Don't like to use terms like ultimate, but what is the next phase goal? More than that. Hinei Anochi Sholeach Lachem et Eliyahu Navi. There's going to be a Yom Hashem HaGadol VaHanora, a day of reckoning with God, and that will usher in the Messianic era, when we will have a Beit HaMikdash, and we'll have a Sanhedrin, and we will not be fighting wars, and not be spending obscene amounts on defense, but we will be able to shine in our practice of life as human beings, good human beings and good Jews, to be a light unto all the nations of the world. And that's the end goal of Pesach, towards the very end of the Seder. It's L'shana haba b'Yerushalayim habinuya, but it's on Shabbat HaGadol before we start the whole thing, that we see set down in the words of the prophets, the words of the last prophecies of following the Torah and coming to the complete Geula. May that happen speedily in our time, and in the meantime, we still have our work cut out, and don't think that we will be able to slacken off when that happens. This is why we are. Doesn't mean you can't enjoy yourself. Doesn't mean you can't play games and have fun. But the values of the Torah are supreme. And observance and practices of the whole body of halakha is what makes up a Torah way of life. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Gadol Shalom. Ish Tamei.
Shalehiach lachem, esei liyoh hanavi. Yeah, man.